to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We'll be reading through, jumping around a few verses here from chapter 19 and chapter 20 of Exodus. I preached Sunday out of about Moses, and it just God laid on my heart to bring this message. I mentioned it Sunday, I think, in my message that I probably speak of Moses more than any other person in the Bible as far as bringing messages. Just so much that we can learn as he leads us to Christ. Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." And if you look at verse number 10, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." And if you go to verse 16, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and a voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." If you look at chapter 20 and verse number 18, Bible says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be upon your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for all you do for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here in your house, God, with your word. You've given us everything we need in life, God. We thank you for that. Hope because of your Son. A message to tell others, God. Your word that we may grow. Lord, I pray tonight that you would meet with us. Holy Spirit of God, we need you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me to your people, God, that you may help us to get closer to you. Lord, I know that is your desire. You love us, as we've already heard. Lord, you desire for us to be close to you. But you give us that free will, that choice, God. Help us tonight through the preaching of your word to be enticed to come closer, to draw closer to you, to give more of ourselves to you, God, that you may use us, that we may glorify you through our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned about speaking of Moses often in the Exodus, the journey from Egypt to Canaan land. God just speaks to my heart every time I read through these passages of Scripture, because it's a picture of the Christian life. So many people think that Canaan land is a picture of heaven. It's not. You know, the first thing they did when they got into Canaan land was go to war. They went to battles, and that's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. And you, as reading that, you see how few people got to go. In fact, there was only two people that were over the age of 20, at the time when they first spied out the land. Only two people out of that whole crowd of hundreds of thousands and millions of people, hundreds of thousands of men, but millions of people, only two got to go in. So it's just sparse that very few Christians get to that point in life where they are living the victorious Christian life. I didn't say the Christian life. We heard that getting saved is no works. It's Jesus Christ. It's all of grace. It's salvation in Jesus Christ, believing on Him. That's it. And many of them, all of them actually, showed that life, that step of faith. They took that first step of faith when they applied the blood on the doorpost. When God said, you need to do this, they believed, they did it, and God saved them through that and brought them out of Egypt. They all took that first step in the Christian life. Only two of them took that step into Canaan's land, a victorious Christian life. So I'm going to talk tonight, with the help of the Lord, on steps that we take in the Christian life, but in particularly a step very few people, very few Christians take. A step very few Christians take, which leads to them not making it to that victorious Christian life. See, when God brings you to a decision and God brings you to that step and you don't take it, that's where you stop. That's as far as you go. God doesn't give you a detour around that. When God brings you to a decision and says, all right, here's your next step, and you don't take that step, that is as far as you go. You do not grow. You stay there. And it's sad to see many Christians live a stagnant Christian life because they come to a point where they just won't go further, and that's it. They go through the routine, get in the rut of coming to church, doing the same old, and living and dying, and never experiencing that Canaan land, never experiencing the victorious Christian life. But it's because of this one step. So as I was thinking of this, I wrote down three. The last one would be the step the fourth one would after this would be that step of living in victory, the step of victorious Christian life. But the first step, the step of faith, again, that's one everybody's got to take. To be a Christian, you got to take that step, the step of faith. The children of Israel, all of them, as they came out of Egypt, every single one of them took that step of faith because they applied the blood to the door. If they didn't, then that firstborn would have died. That there would have been a punishment. They would not have made it out. But they did. They applied the blood to the door to show that they believed what God said. They obeyed what God said. And God delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And they came out. They took that step of faith. And for you to be a Christian, you got to take that step of faith too. If you've never taken that step, that's where you stop. You will die in your sin. And by the authority of the scripture, you will go to hell. That's not a something that we say to try to scare people. That's the sad thing is the wages of sin is death. But the verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's available to everybody, and that's why we have that message, the gospel. We got to keep telling people to let them know. You're going to have that decision. You either accept them or you reject them. But if you reject them, then that's as far as you go. But if you've taken that step of faith, and I pray, I hope everybody in this room has done that. You've taken that step of faith where you've accepted Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're out of Egypt now. You're coming out of Egypt. You've been delivered. Now, The second step. So number one, the step of faith. Number two, the step of obedience. The step of obedience. Now it's time to start obeying what God said. As you come to church, that's part of obedience. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. You obey by coming to church and gathering together, and you hear about reading your Bible. Study the Word. The Bible tells us that, and you hear this, and so you obey. You start applying that. You start taking those steps of obedience as God starts teaching you the things you're supposed to do. The first step of obedience is getting baptized. That first step of obedience. And so you find out, okay, I'm saved. Now what do I do? You need to get baptized. And so you say, okay, I want to do that. You're obedient. You're showing the world that you want to follow Christ, that you're a new creature. You're going to walk in newness of life. And so you obey. And so you can keep taking that step. You keep taking those steps of obedience, of baptism, prayer, Bible reading, all these things that God says to do. It's all through the Scripture, and God's going to keep, and this is a step you're constantly having to take, because you come to church or you read your Bible, and God says, okay, you see what I said? Do it. And you got a decision to make. Okay, I'm going to obey, or I'm not. Tithing, soul winning, as we heard tonight, giving the gospel. These are things that God is telling us to do. Not, well, if you got time, it would be nice. It would be helpful. God's saying, do this. God says, you shall receive power. After that, you receive power, you should be witnesses. He's telling us in Acts chapter 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me. And so God's telling us to be witnesses, to go soul winning, to give the gospel to other people. And he's telling all these different things. And so I believe many, many Christians get these two steps good. They get these two steps right. And sometimes we might struggle with this obedience. We might say no, and then God has to punish us, and then we're like, okay, God, I'll do it. And so maybe the obedience of going to a mission field. God might call you, and that's when you got to say, okay. And you might not have it in here where it opened up and God says, I want you to go to China. You might not see that in there. God, we know God's saying to be a witness, but to be a missionary, that's God landed on your heart, and you just saying, okay, I surrender. I'll obey God. I'll go where you say. Here am I, send me. I'll do it. But I believe many, many Christians get these two steps in good. You got to get the first one. You're not a Christian if you don't get the first step, the step of faith. Step of faith and then the step of obedience. I wrote down number three, and this is where I believe many, many, sad to say, probably most Christians don't get this step. And maybe it's not the correct word, and I'll explain what I'm trying to teach here, but I put down the step of communion. The step of communion, a relationship, having a closeness, a relationship with God. So many Christians, as they get saved and they have that step of faith, and you come to church, you come to church, and that's a great thing. It's an important thing. God wants you to go to church. We need you as the body of Christ. We need each other, right? We need you to come to church. It encourages each other. We feed off of each other, so we need that. But a lot of times we get to where we're coming to church for each other or for the pastor. And so we grow, and we get a good relationship with the pastor. We get a good relationship with each other. But we don't take that step to get a good, close communion, close relationship with the God of heaven. As I believe we see it in these passages of scriptures that we read, and I'll point it out to you. And I believe that's where so many Christians fail, and so many Christians take a misstep, and this has been going on since back in Moses' day. It's still going on today, where people say, preacher, you tell us. Keep preaching it, preacher. Preach the word. I love hearing it when you preach the word. But yet you say, like they said here, and if you look back in chapter number 20, verse 19, and they said to Moses, speak thou with us. Preacher, preach it, preacher. Preach to us. Tell us what God says. Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And people, as these people do, look at God as, God's scary. And Moses is like, fear not. God wants you to obey him. We ought to reverence God. We ought to not think that God is the man upstairs or our buddy. We ought to reverence God. And God was doing all the show that was going on with the thunderings and lightnings and the mountain smoking to show that he is God. He's holy. And we ought to fear and obey him. But we shouldn't be like, oh, I don't want him to speak to me. I don't know if I want to read my Bible. I don't know if I want to pray. I don't want to have that relationship where God speaks to me. I'm just happy with letting the pastor speak to me. Oh, I'll see it in the Bible when the pastor reads it and he preaches it. It's right there in the Word, and I think it's good, and I'll listen. I'll obey. I'll obey it if he tells me. But we don't take that step where it's not, preacher, you tell me. And we ought to. God uses a man of God. It's always been God's way where God calls the man as he did Moses. He tells Moses, you tell them. That's God's way. Don't you get so foolish as some of these people to think, well, I can just stay out of church and I'll read my Bible and I don't need a man of God. Yes, you do. That's God's way. But don't get so foolish and so anemic Christian to where you say, I only need the man of God, and I don't need God to speak to me personally. I get what I get from church. I go to church, and God speaks to me at church, and that's enough. No, it's not. You'll never go any further for Christ. You'll never go any further in your Christian life if you don't get past this point of having that relationship. Moses had no problem talking to God. Problems came, he got on his knees. Whenever he needed something, he went to God. We heard last Sunday night, Brother Michael was talking about how Moses even got to talk to God face to face. And even asking God, God, I want to see your face. He wanted that close relationship to God. God, let me see your face. He begged him. That was one out of millions. Who else in that group of people said, God, I want to see you? Now, I know Joshua, when Moses went into that tabernacle and God met with him, and Joshua was there, and Moses went back to tell the people, but Joshua stayed. Joshua said, this is good. Getting in the presence of God. He stayed there in that tabernacle and wanted to stay there and be in the presence of God. And guess who got to be the next leader? Joshua. So you think of those millions of people. You got Moses, you got Joshua, and it doesn't say about Caleb, but I know Caleb was a man of faith and Caleb trusted in God. Very, very few people out of millions had a relationship with God. They were saved. They were out of Egypt. They were delivered. They would even said, we'll obey. In fact, they said, look at verse number 8 of chapter 19. They said, and the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We'll obey. You tell us, Moses, and we'll obey it. You keep preaching it, and we'll obey it. We'll do it. But how much better will it be if a group of people not only will say, we'll obey God, but we want a relationship, communion with God, to have that closeness to say, you know what, preacher, it's good when I come to church and you preaching the word, keep on preaching it, preacher, it's so good, but how sweet when you take this word, this book, and you lay it down and you open it up and say, God, speak to me. Draw me closer to you. Speak to my heart, God. And daily you open this book and you're searching through the words of God and you're saying, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. You're holy, I know. You're a God of heaven. You're righteous, thrice holy God. But I want to be close to you. I love it when you speak through our pastor. But can you speak to me too? Can you teach me something that I can share with someone else? Can you speak to me, God? Look at it. Let not God speak with us. And we don't want to admit it. But most Christians, I dare say, are right there. You tell us, preacher, we'll listen. But don't let God speak with us. And that shows why they murmured, they complained, they had no faith. They kept wandering around and through that wilderness for 40 years because they didn't believe God when he says, go to the promised land, it's yours. I will go with you. And they said, we're not going. Then God says, then you're not going to go. And they said, oh, well, we'll go now. Then I'm not going with you no more. If you go now, you're going alone. I'm not going with you. And those people wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Their carcasses died, fell over in the wilderness because they had this life of majority Christians. Now, some people will be happy with that. Some people will be satisfied. I don't want to be. I'm hoping through the preaching of the Word of God tonight that there's something stirring in your heart that's saying, you know what, I don't want to be satisfied with that. I don't want to have that life of saying, I am satisfied with just coming to church and God speaking to me at church. I want God to speak to me at church. I need God to speak to me at church through the preaching of the Word. I need it, don't you? I need the preaching of the Word of God. But if that's it, if that's all you get from God, you're missing it. You're missing what God has for you in life. You want to live the life that God has for you? God wants to bless you. God wants to give you a relationship with him where you see God in a different light. You see God do miracles. You see you have strong faith, really. When you got a closeness to God, you just that doubt goes out the door. And God says, you know, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And how many people are moving mountains? We're lacking this step. I'm not saying I got it. God's speaking to my heart too. To take this step, to get close to God, to have a relationship. When you have that, then you take that step of victory. Where you live a victorious Christian life. Not a life of luxury where everything's up on cloud nine. No, again, when they went into Canaan land, it was battles. But as long as they were obedient, did what God said, they won the battles. God brought them victory after victory after victory. As long as they listened to him and did what he said, and he gave them the land that he promised he was going to give them. A land where they didn't have to build the houses. The houses were there. Everything was done for them. Fields that were already planted, God gave it to them. But it's because they had the step of faith, the step of obedience, and then that step of communion that we saw in Joshua, we saw in Moses, and he led those people into that promised land. And sad, I label this the step that most Christians don't take. Will you take that step? Will I? It's a step that God's saying, come. There's so many times in the Bible God's saying, come, come unto me. Come unto me. He even says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. If you take that step towards him and say, God, I want a relationship with you. God's saying, you take a step towards me, I'm taking one towards you. You draw close to me. The closer you draw to me, the closer I want to draw to you. To have a closeness with the God of heaven. And think about that. That Moses got to talk with God as a man talking with his friend. Do you have that relationship? Do you want it? Hopefully you do. Hopefully there's a desire in your heart that says, I want God to be my friend. He is a friend. It's sticking closer than a brother that says, my best friend, my greatest friend is the God of heaven, not the man upstairs. Not these people saying, don't let God speak to me. Don't let God speak to me. I'm scared of God. You ought to fear God. You ought to reverence him, but have a love that you want, a desire to be close to him. Take that step of communion. Allow God to draw you to him and draw close to you and just show you. We sing songs about it. Lean in on the everlasting arms. And we long for it when it's a time of sorrow and a time of fear and a time where we just don't know where to go. We long to have that closeness to God, to feel his arms around us, to feel his grace just overflow us, don't we? Like those three Hebrew children in the fire, he was there, right? He was there. And that's when we long for, oh, God, I need you to know. I need to know you're close. I need to know you're close because I'm going through this trial and this fire in my life. But what about when it came out of the fire? One of them grab him by the hand and say, you're coming with us. I don't just need you in this fire. I need you in my life. I preached a message years ago about the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He saw him. He said, that looks like the Son of God. That's a fourth man in there. It looks like the Son of God, but yet he only called three of them out. I was like, that's foolish. When God showed me that, he opened my eyes. I'm like, wait a minute. He says, I see four, but I'm going to only call three of you guys out. That fourth man could stay in there. Ain't that foolish? Knowing that's God, but yet not saying, hey, come here. I need to talk with you. I need you in my life. Look what you did. You saved these three men from the fire. They're not burned. Their clothes aren't burned. They're not on fire. They're walking around unharmed in that fire. But yet, you stay in there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on, come here. That's the way we live our life. Oh, we want to see what God can do, but we don't want to have God come home with us. Let's all stand. God's just been dealing with me on this. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to stall my Christian life because I don't want to get close to God. I just want God's blessings. I just want what God can give me. How about we want God? We desire God. Desire to be close to him. Desire his presence. Not his gifts. Not his gifts presence, but his presence, his closeness, relationship with him. I think our lives would change for the best if that would be our desire. Heads bowed, eyes closed.